Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In your Schofield Bible, page 1220. We'll be reading verses 9 through 13, the text verse is the 13th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, page 1220 in your Schofield Bible. Stand, please, as we read these verses responsibly. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And let's read the text verse together also. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great crown. And as we think about those who are gathered here, we're mindful also of a multitude who are gathered there with thee, who once sat in these pews. We believe that somehow they're able to tune in to what goes on here, and we believe that it's a happy group who looks on today. And as we are here experiencing it in this room at this time, help us not to take lightly our privilege. And help us to enter into the joy of the hour. We pray that you'd bless with power the preaching, our preacher, and help us as listeners to listen carefully and intently. We believe there's something here for us each. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, that'll do till I get my voice back. And this morning, let me suggest to you that you get this tape. We need the money. Let me suggest that you get this tape. You're going to need it someday. It's one of those tapes that you ought to get and just file it somewhere, put it in the drawer, and you'll know when the time comes that you need it. I want to speak this morning about a conversation that I had with our son Dave a few days after the homegoing of their little boy. The title of my message is a question that Dave asked me. He said, Dad, when does the hurting stop? I want to speak this morning on that. Listen to me now carefully. Everybody, no talking. Sailors, listen to me now. No talking. Everybody sit up straight. You may be 18 years old or 20 now, sailors. Everybody else. One of these days, you're going to be hurt. And you're going to need what I say this morning. So you get this tape, you file it somewhere. I'm gonna answer the question this morning. When does the hurting stop? Dr. Lee Robertson was with me in Delaware, Newcastle, Delaware, preaching at the National Bus Convention. And I preached last on Monday night, and Tuesday morning he preached last. And I preached a message on comfort. And we got through. I was walking down, Dr. Robertson walking up, and he stopped and asked me this question. He said, were you preaching to us or to yourself this morning? And I said, to both. And this morning, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to you, but mainly to you. I want to help you. Father, help me as I try to encourage our dear people today. Every pew has somebody or somebody sitting on it who needs to know when the hurting stops. A lot of hurting people in this room today. Help me to be a blessing to all of them. In Jesus' name, amen. The late Willard Parker, a famous surgeon, in his senior days, was asked to perform serious surgery. He was up in years and had some kind of problem that caused his hands to tremble. And yet someone asked him to perform major surgery. After it was over, he was asked, "How did you do it?" And here's what he said. Don't forget this statement. "I picked up the scalpel with my hands trembling." But as soon as I touched the delicate place on the body of the patient, my hands were as firm as steel. And then when it was over, my hands were trembling again. This is the story of my life. Please do not feel sorry for me. I don't want you to. But I counted this week 13 major heartbreaks that I've had in my life. I don't mean, not counting the minor heartbreaks, like having to pastor Roy Moffitt and things like that. I'm not doing stuff like that. On a second thought, that's a major heartbreak. But major heartbreaks, such as the boy my wife, my daughter married, and such things as that, you know, Cindy. But I counted 13 major heartbreaks that I've had. I trembled as I approached every one of them. I was scared. But when enduring them, my hands were as firm as steel. So I think I'm qualified to speak on the subject that I've been assigned this morning. When does the hurting stop? You have had your heart crushed, an unwanted divorce, the loss of a mate, the loss of a parent, the loss of a child, the loss of a friend, a child broke your heart, or some other hurt. And everywhere I look this morning, I see faces of people who have had their hearts crushed, and you hurt today. Perhaps you have asked, when does the hurting stop? Now, I want to make three statements quickly. One is, it never stops, and it shouldn't. It never stops, and it shouldn't. Number two is, you wouldn't want it to stop. I want to hurt because my mother's gone. I'll explain in a few minutes a little bit about that. But I want to hurt. And by the way, my mother wants me to hurt some because she's gone. I said, number one, it doesn't stop, and it shouldn't. I said, number two, you wouldn't want it to. I said, number three, if you're grieving over a loved one, they don't want it to stop either. Now, I'll prove that. Jesus, our Savior, was going back to heaven. He was with these people who were his disciples who had walked with him for 3 long years and been with him day and night for 3 long years. Now he's about to go back. He meets with them and says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, mansions, if you're not so, I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I'm leaving you. And then he gives them the Lord's Supper. Now, wait a minute. We take the Lord's Supper seriously, but imagine how they felt the first Lord's Supper they took. I was sitting in the office the other day, and I marvel when I stopped to think. Imagine how these apostles felt. I mean, they had been with him. He was their leader. He was their captain. Now all of a sudden he's taken. Can you imagine how they hurt at that first Lord's Supper? Now Jesus wanted them to hurt, for it was he who told them to have it. So I'm simply saying, your hurting will never stop, and you wouldn't want it to stop, and your loved ones in heaven would not want it to stop either. I told Miss Howes the other day, oh, I tell her often, if I go first, I want you to have a fit. You heard about this lady, and she happened to be colored, but it could have been a white person down south. She was eating watermelon. And somebody walked up and said, Matilda, your husband just died. She kept on eating her watermelon. So then after a while, they said, look, I told you, your husband just died. She kept on eating her watermelon. And finally they said, aren't you going to cry? She said, whenever I get through with this watermelon, you ain't never heard such carryings on as I am going to do. Now, the honest, simple truth is, that went over about like that. Thank you very much. I hope you're marooned on an island somewhere and nobody comes to your rescue someday, too. You don't laugh when you think it's funny. You laugh when I think it's funny. So she said, when I get through this watermelon, you ain't never heard such carrying on. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, the truth is, our Lord wanted us not to grieve all the time, but he wanted us to have seasons or periods when we grieve. And so that's the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Now then, let me tell you what can happen. Dave and I were in the kitchen, and purposely I called him in. We got alone together, while they were here last week, maybe on a Monday. And I talked to him. I said, I'm going to talk to him. He said, Dad, when does the hurting stop? When does the hurting stop? And I said, son, let me tell you, it doesn't stop. But let me tell you the progression. First is, you hurt all the time. You're going through that stage right now. You hurt all the time. I said, now, later, you'll hurt much of the time. And a little while after that, you'll hurt every day. And then a little while after that, perhaps every week. Then a little while after that, every reminder of little Jack David will cause you to hurt. But you'll never stop hurting. I said, for example, take your grandmother, my mother. I said, when I go to Ray Young's office, and I hurt. Well, anybody hurts who goes to Ray Young's office. But I said, I hurt, and I go there. Because that his office is the very room where I said goodbye to my mother in September of 1984. I never walked in his office, but what I remember, that conversation I had with my mother when she told me that she could see her daughter Lorraine, and she could see Hazel, another daughter that went to heaven many years ago, and she could see Uncle Roy, and then Octa, and Uncle Basil, and Aunt Gera, and Aunt Jenny, and Uncle Harvey. Then she said she could see Jesus. I never go in that room, but what I hurt, for example, I told David, I said every Thanksgiving Day, I hurt because I can't find Mother at the table. Every Christmas Day, I hurt because I can't see my mother at the table. Last Sunday, our family went over to my sister's condominium. We had lunch there, and I missed my mother. So I'm saying, you won't hurt all the time, the rest of the time, but you will always hurt. I said today again, at first, all the time, and then most of the time, much of the time, then every day, then every week, and then every reminder, you'll hurt. I want to give you this morning, and I'm preaching to myself for the next few minutes as well as you. I'm not sure I'm practicing what I preach this morning. My wife said this morning, am I going to get it? She says it often. She said, am I going to get it this morning? And usually I say, right between your cotton picking eyes, I'm going to plow right down your furrow. And I said, I'm not going to preach this morning. She said, let me preach. I'll tell them dirty sinners what they ought to do. And she called your name, by the way, too. But I'm preaching to myself this morning as well as you. I have a little formula that I've gone by for many years whenever I had been heartbroken. My little formula deals with five periods of time. Number one, bleeding time. Bleeding time. So I'm saying when my heartbreak comes, I go ahead and cry. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with crying. So, when it's all over and you're still hurt, you wonder if it'll ever quit hurting. Number one, bleeding time. Go ahead and cry. Don't make any decisions. Just lie there and bleed. I guess the hardest day of my life was March 26th last month. I was at Mayo Clinic. I called Mrs. Hiles. I'd found out some bad news about my health, and I was a little apprehensive. I'd say scared to death, but me, just a little apprehensive. And then I called Mrs. Hiles, and of course found out that our grandson had suddenly been taken. I cannot tell you how I bled. Now there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. Just lie there and bleed and cry and hurt a while. That's period number one. Don't fight it. Period number two, acceptance time. Acceptance time. It's my lot. I can't do anything about it. I have to face it. Acceptance time. Now this morning, if you are still hurting, number one is, don't think it's wrong to bleed. Lie there and bleed a while. And number two, acceptance time. I can't do anything about it. I asked Dr. Charles Weigel. Dr. Weigel is the author of that famous song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Dr. Weiger wrote that song after his wife had left him. He was an evangelist. He was in his good years. His wife told him she did not want to be an evangelist's wife, and she left him. At the darkest hour of his life, Dr. Weigel sat down and wrote that song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Let me parenthesize today and tell you that's true. If you think no one cares, you're wrong. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. If you think nobody understands, you're wrong, because he perfectly understands. Every burden that you bear, he's borne. Every heartache that you have, he's had. Every sorrow that you've known, he's known. Every uneasy pathway you've tread, he's trod. I'm simply saying that there is someone who cares. I said, Dr. Weigel, how do you face it? He said to me, I've never married. Never have. My wife left me, and I've never married. I loved her. I would never marry anybody else. I love her. I want to live with a memory. Like General Arnold's widow said, I would rather be the widow of General Arnold than the wife of any man in the whole world. Well, Dr. Weigel said, I'll never marry again. And I said, Dr. Weigel, how do you take it? And he said, there's no other choice. There's no other choice. Now this morning, if you're hurting, bleed, that's period one. Two, acceptance time. It's your lot. You've got to sit there. There's nothing you can do about it. If your husband's gone and run off with somebody and divorced you and married somebody else, I mean, it's over. You've got to face it. And you got to accept it. It's my lot in life. If you have a serious illness, you got it. And you got to face it. If you have a son that's broken your heart, you got to face it. If you have a child that's been, that's gone on to heaven, you got to face it. I said to Dave, I said, son, it's over. You can't bring little Jack David back. If you could, you would. But son, you've got to face it. I said, you got two other children that need you. And they don't need you weak. They need you strong. So today, let me say, if you're hurting today, let me tell you again that first is the bleeding time. Go ahead and bleed. And then second period, stand on your feet. Look it square in the eyeball and say, I've got to do it. I cannot evade it. I cannot avoid it. I've got to face it. I have no other choice. And take it, as I said to my wife the other day, like a little man. Third, trusting time. First, bleeding time. Second, acceptance time. Third, trusting time. He's God. He's in charge. He knows what I need. He is the one who has the view from the high tower. He is the high tower, the Bible says. He's the one who knows everything. He knows my needs. He knows my temperament. He knows what I need. So I must not only must have bleeding time, acceptance time, but I've got to have trusting time. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind yourself, and let me remind myself, that he's God, and he knows what's best, and you trust him for whatever needs you might have. Number four. One, bleeding time. This is a formula I've used year after year through heartaches and heartbreaks. Bleeding time, acceptance time, trusting time, number four, investigation time. Why? There's a reason why this happened to me. Why did this happen to me? Is God testing me as he did Job? Is God preparing me as he did Moses? Is God punishing me as he did David? Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't let your heartache go by without your trying to find out why it came. Because there's something you ought to do about it. I told you the other day, when I heard about Lou Jack David, I sat there in that hotel room, crushed. You know, you understand that. I wasn't well. My grandson was taken tragically. I was crushed. And I said, why? Why? I don't understand it. I don't think for a moment that God was punishing Dave and Brenda. I think that's all been cared for. Why? He's trying. He's a choir director and song leader at a wonderful church, and he's the Jeff Owens. the Sunday school there. In fact, he runs the whole Sunday school at the church. He heads the fastest growing adult couples class. And every week he wins someone to Christ and brings them down the aisle. He's tried and he's suffered enough for his mistakes. Why? Why? Why?
3 o'clock in the morning, after I heard about it, I was awakened. I think with the Lord. Now, God's never spoken to me audibly. Never spoken to Oral Roberts audibly either. As I said the other day, if he ever does, he'll speak to me instead of Oral. But as near as he can, he spoke to me. He said, son, I'll tell you why. Dave and Brenda needed a lot of loving. They've been through a lot. Self-imposed, yes. They've been through a lot. And they paid for it. And they need a lot of loving. And God told me as plainly as he spoke to me, it happened so that they could have the outpour of love that they needed. And also,
sort of as a purifying of their critics. And you'd be surprised how many letters they got from their critics.
They've suffered enough. It's cleansing time. It's forgiving time. That's why. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you hurt today, bleed a while. And then after you bleed, accept it. After you accept it, have trusting time. And after you've trusted, then you have investigation time. Why? There is a reason why. Now look, it may be if God is punishing you, face it and correct whatever you need to correct. If God is chastening you, then find out why God is chastening you and take care. Whatever, if it's a sin, then forsake it. If it's a mistake, then correct it. I'm simply saying, don't you look and say, well, nobody chased me right. Check and see. Is God punishing me? If he is, do something about it. Is God preparing me? If he is, then get busy and do what he's preparing you to do. Is God testing me? Then stand the test like Job did thousands of years ago. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, investigation time. Find out why. Ask yourself why it happened. Bleeding time. Acceptance time. Trusting time. Investigation time, number five. And this is not a sermon outline, but it's an outline that I've had written down in my office for years. Using time. Using. U-S-I-N-G. Using time. First, I bleed. Then, I accept it. Then, I trust. And then, I investigate. And then, I use. Using time. Paul said, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out, rather, under the furtherance of the gospel. Let me tell you a beautiful story. A lady in Brother Dave's church in Pinellas Park, Florida, had backslidden, left her husband, left her children. Home was broken. When she heard of the death of little Jack David, she came back to her husband. Their family reunited. And she said, I want to see to it that my children get the love that little Jack David got from his parents.
And family after family after family has gotten right with God. And several folks were saved at the funeral service. I'm simply saying, Paul said, okay, I'm single. I don't have the love of a wife, but I'll use it to the furtherance of the gospel. I have no children. I'm not a father. No little child walks up and pats me on the cheek and says, I love you, Daddy. But I'll use that for the furtherance of the gospel. He says, Paul was probably a widower. Maybe he was married. His wife had died. Paul said, okay, I don't have a wife anymore. I'll use that for the furtherance of the gospel. He was ill. He had an illness, a serious illness. And Paul said, I'll use that for the furtherance of the gospel. He had a horrible past, had persecuted Christians, even murdered Christians. And he said, I'll use that. Let me tell you, whatever's happened to you, if you're a mission man today, and the memories of your life are memories that are negative and the bad nights and sins, and then use it. Tell people how rotten the devil is, how terrible sin is, what a liar the devil is. Warn people not to walk the path that you walk.
Whatever has happened to you, do as Paul did. It's fallen out to me. I like the term. Fallen out to me. Something falls. It came above, from above. Paul said, what's happened to me came from heaven. It fell out to me. And I used it. Paul had enemies. People wanted to kill him and tried to kill him. But the Apostle Paul said, I'll use the fact that I have no wife for the furtherance of the gospel. I'll use my fact that I have no children for the furtherance of the gospel. I'll use the fact that my wife has passed away for the furtherance of the gospel. I'll use my illness for the furtherance of the gospel. I'll use my horrible past for the furtherance of the gospel. I'll use even the fact that I have enemies. Hey, take the tragedy is for God to come and give you a tough time, and you're hurt on the inside, and nothing good comes from it. Bless your little heart. Be sure that good comes from it. I heard Dave stand before the funeral service in Pinellas Park, speak himself, with the body of his little 5.5-year-old boy at his feet. I heard him stand up and say, I beg you, let this get you, if you're not right with God, let it get you right with God. If you're not saved, let it get you saved. The tragedy is, if hurt comes, and heartache comes, and heartbreak comes, you don't use it. Good night. Use it. Use it. Use it. Let it propel you to be the Christian you've never been before. Let it propel you to be the soul winner you've never been before. Let it propel you to be the person that lifts the fallen like you've never lifted the fallen before. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, okay, you're hurt on the inside. Don't just sit there and have a pity party. Get up and use it to propagation of the gospel and the helping of other people. It's an old story. You've heard it many times. I was in Texas years ago. Preaching, in Arlington, Texas, near Dallas. The lady was sitting in a wheelchair. An older lady. Couldn't even get up out of the wheelchair. So, I saw her there. Didn't know her, as far as I knew. After the service, she rolled up and her husband rolled up to the front and motioned for me and I walked down there. And she said, I'm what used to be nailed aboard. Nailed aboard. Who was nailed aboard? A lady that I was out soul winning one day. She was out digging in her flower bed. And I wanted a Christ that afternoon out there in the flower bed. That next night, I went back and won her husband Jake to Jesus Christ. Jake, I think, has passed away and she married again. But I want them both to Christ. Just a few days after they were saved and baptized and joined the church, on Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas, little David, their boy, became ill, 15 months old. She thought she'd take him to the hospital, and she did. She got out of her car, picked up little David, and walked up the steps to the hospital to the doctor. And before she got to the door, little David died in her arms. I went to the house that evening. Christmas is tomorrow. There were toys under the tree of little David. And there were reminders of little David. Nailed aboard bed for a while. And then she accepted the fact that David was gone. And then she trusted that God is good regardless. And don't you forget that God's good. You can't see it, he's still good. You don't believe it, he's still good. You don't trust him, he's still good. He makes no mistakes. She bled. She accepted. She trusted. And then she investigated. And then she used. Nailed aboard. Picked up the Dallas Morning News and Dallas Times Herald. Every day. And every day, she read the obituary column. And every time she found a child had died, she got in her car and drove over to the place. I don't care, anywhere in Dallas County, if it's 6 miles away, she drove to the home. And she walked inside the home. And she told them that she had lost a little boy who died in her arms on Christmas Eve. and she comforted and strengthened them. I don't know how many folks you won to Christ and how many people she brought down the aisle. That's the little lady who was sitting in a wheelchair a year or so ago when I was preaching in Arlington, Texas. And I do not know how many people that little David won to Christ. Hey, if you've lost a little David, don't let him not be a soul winner. Make a soul winner out of little David. Two great poets were totally blind, Homer and Milton. But they used their blindness. Great songwriter, Fanny Crosby, was blind, but she used her blindness. Alexander Pope was an invalid, but he used his illness. Lord Byron and Sir Walter Scott hobbled on club feet. Mrs. Spurgeon was an invalid. Charles Spurgeon was sickly, had to go down to Mentone, France, and to stay there by months at a time because of his illness. And Robert Hall was an invalid, and so was Payson, and Richard Baxter, and Samuel Rutherford. Each of them had heartbreak. But ladies and gentlemen, when the heartbreak comes, bleed. Go ahead, lay there and bleed a while. All of us do. But accept it. I can't bring him back. I said to Dave, I can't bring him back. Another person named David stood at the grave of his little child and said, he cannot come to me. Oh, I love this. But I shall go to him. And I said, son, you can't bring little Jack David back. He's gone. Pleading time. Acceptance time. Trusting time. Investigation time. Using time. But here's the tragedy. I wonder how many people have suffered but didn't use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Don't let your father or mother die in vain. Don't let your mate die in vain. These little young widows here that we've got that have passed, lost, Sigma, this is Sigma, and this is Steve, Satan. I mean, these little widows, they lost their husbands, and they're sorry, and their hearts are broken, and they still hurt. They bled for a while, they accepted it, they trusted Jesus, and now they're being used of God to bless countless other people. And in the time David, Jack David was killed, I saw Michelle Sigma talk to my son David and to Brenda, and to use the death of her husband to encourage them. I don't care what's happened to you, use it for Jesus Christ. So, son, you'll never quit hurting. You'll always hurt. You won't be as frequent after a while. But there'll never be a time in your life when you won't hurt. David said that. All my insides I hurt. I feel like I'm about to fall apart on the insides. When will I stop hurting? And I said, son, you'll never stop hurting. But I said, go ahead and cry. Go ahead and cry. Just cry and bleed. But I said, sometime, let it transfer to acceptance. Jack David's gone. He can't come back. You can't do anything about it. You have to face it. I said, you have to face it. You folks that are cracking up, stand up. Throw your chest out and your chin in and say, I'm not going to crack up. My children need me. My mama needs me. My daddy needs me. My loved ones need me. My church needs me. My bus route needs me. My Sunday school class needs me. Face it. Accept it. And I said, son, after you've bled and accepted it, then you trust. Don't doubt God. I said, God could have chosen to let Jack David fall the other way instead of under the car. Years ago, when our oldest daughter, Becky, was 2 or 3 years old, she was in the back seat of the car. We're going down a street as busy as Indianapolis Boulevard. Coming home from church, we turned to go up our street, and Becky fell out of the car. but she fell away from the car. I said, son, God could have caused little Jack David to fall any way he wanted to fall. His mother, Brenda, was driving the car. I said, by all means, never blame Brenda. Nothing ever happens without God ordering it or approving it. And I said, son, after that, investigate and see why. And after that, you spend the rest of your life using what happened to you for the furtherance of the gospel. Are you hurting this morning? You always will. As I look back over those 13 things I alluded to a while ago, I still hurt over all of them. But I'm happy. I enjoy life. You know that. Good night, I cut up all the time. It's easy when you got somebody as dumb as Roy Moffat working for you. But I enjoy life. But one reason I do enjoy life is because of the little formula I've given you this morning. Bleeding time. Acceptance time. Trusting time. Investigation time. And using time. Thought it in your minds. Get the tape. You'll need it someday. You may not need it now, but your day is going to come. The tears are going to fall. The heart's going to break on the inside. And you're going to face some things you never thought you'd face. And you're going to need what I've said this morning. It'll never stop hurting. Ever. And you wouldn't want it to. And they wouldn't want it to. But go through the little process. Bleed. Accept. Trust. Investigate. And use. Would you bow your heads, please?